If you clicked on this podcast expecting screaming and yelling and holes punched in walls and cursing out front offices and blame on players and blame on managers, you're not getting that here. We're going to look at this rationally. We're going to make fair critiques and outline what the next 57 games could look like as the Brewers are now tied for first place in the National League Central with absolutely no momentum, but about 2 months to figure out what kind of team they're going to become. You're Locked On.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
It's Friday, August 5th. There is still about 2 months left of the baseball season. Do not abandon ship yet. I'm Dominic Catronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brewers all season long. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online has you covered this season with more props, odds, and lines than ever before. Bet Online is where the game starts. I'm the statistician for Bally Sports Wisconsin, and quite frankly, the vibes aren't great right now. I tweeted the vibes are gone, but doesn't mean you can't get them back. Brewers are swept by the Pirates. They walk off on the Brewers in back-to-back days. This time, though, on a walk-off wild pitch in Thursday's affair. Brewers fall 5-4 in 10 innings. We're going to have a brief game recap. As I said, we're going to lay out these schedules coming up as the Cardinals just swept a doubleheader over the Cubs yesterday. They are now equal at 57-48 in record for these final 57 games to go. Both the exact same number of games remaining from here in. And I'm just going to get on a mini soapbox at the end of this podcast a little bit later on of just remembering that we can't think of a baseball season like an NFL season or like an NBA season. Yes, it's crunch time, but there is still time. But first, let's get into this game recap. It's not a very long one because there isn't much to highlight in this contest. The Brewers had a weird, odd game as they fall, as we mentioned, 5-4 in extra innings. They are swept by the Pirates. They've now lost five consecutive games to the Pirates going back to their last series against Pittsburgh, which was here in Milwaukee. But the Brewers had Brandon Woodruff on the mound going up against Zach Thompson. Thompson, for the fourth time this year, they're facing the right-hander. Woodruff pitched into the seventh inning, and yet once again, he could not get out of the seventh inning. It has become a theme for him, having trouble with the third and sometimes fourth time through the order. Coming into the day, he had the fourth worst opponent batting average the third time through the order against him. Last year, that wasn't a problem. Opponents hit 209 the third time through the order. There is something different about Woodruff this year, the third time through. And if you're wondering if that's actually gotten better since he got off the IL, it's remained about the same. Coming into the game, they were hitting 313 the third time through since he activated off the IL. And I think of that Pittsburgh start he had a couple weeks ago at American Family Field when he was rolling, things were looking fine. He comes back out for the seventh inning and a couple of ambush hits later, he's out of it. And then Brad Boxberger blows it. That sound like a similar script to this one? If you watched yesterday, that's exactly what happened. And I'm officially concerned about Brad Boxberger. He had an awful September last season. He was used so much, a career high in games played for Brad Boxberger. He led the Brewers bullpen in appearances last year. And Brad Boxberger blows his seventh save of the year. Now, when you say blown saves for relievers, it's not always the ninth inning. It's in a hold opportunity. We're already seeing that decline that we saw from Brad Boxberger in September of last year happening now in July and August. I tweeted a graph of his expected WOBA. You don't need to know what expected WOBA means or what everything that goes into it. What you should generally know about ex-WOBA is if you're a pitcher and you're giving up a high ex-WOBA, it's not good. It's basically taking in the quality of contact being hit against you, taking in the pitches they're taking, how many strikes you're throwing, and the actual results of at-bats in what's happening for you. And the expected WOBA is not great. It has been rising since June for Brad Boxberger. And he has now allowed six of the last nine runners he has inherited to score. He inherited two runners in the seventh inning against the Pirates, trying to preserve the Brewers' 3-2 lead, and then allowed the game-tying hit. That game-tying hit nearly wasn't after a great attempted throw by Hunter Renfroe That made it 3-3. But I want to go now. We're not going to do a full-on recap. I'm going to talk about some good things that happened in this game, but I want to go really quickly to what I was so surprised about the Brewers trying to form a rally in the later stages of this game, highlighted by Hunter Renfro. We go to the ninth inning now, and Colton Wong leads off with a double, extends his hitting streak in his last plate appearance of this game against Colin Holderman in the top of the ninth with the game tied 3-3. Man on second, nobody out. You have to score that guy. You have to score that guy. And I'll give Hunter Renfro credit. If he did it on his own, it was ballsy to do it. He has trouble seeing the ball or something in PNC Park. He came into the game just 1-for-17 at PNC Park. He doesn't like that park for some reason. And he put himself behind the team's needs. He decided to lay down a bunt, and it was a good sacrifice bunt. It got Colton Wong over to third, his first ever big league sacrifice bunt. And now you're in the situation where you got a man on third, one out, anything out of the infield should give you the lead. The infield has to come in. Mike Brasso, who homered earlier in this game, that's one of the good things that happened. He's up there trying to battle. He wants to swing. He gets hit by a pitch. And that's the worst thing that could have happened. Now that sets up the double play. Tyrone Taylor comes off the bench to pinch hit for Jonathan Davis. And Tyrone works into a favorable count against Holderman, and he hits a hot shot up the third baseline against, there are only two third basemen, in my opinion, that make the play that happened there. Nolan Arenado and Ke'Bryan Hayes. Ke'Bryan Hayes leads all of baseball in defensive run saves, and he makes a great sliding, diving stop. His knee never even touched the ground. He read it so perfectly. While he was already playing in from third, he makes an incredible play on a ball that was nearly by him, steps on third, doubles off Tyrone at first base. One of the best double plays I have seen this year. Epic play by the young Hayes. You just tip your cap, man. Tyrone did his job. He pulled it. Would you have liked to get it out of the infield? Yes, but he hit it hard. That was a heck. It was a one-of-one type play. I think if you give Hayes another bucket of balls of plays like that, he maybe makes it 50% of the time. It was that hard of a play. Tip your cap, move on. Bottom of the ninth, Devin Williams got back on track. Yes, he allowed a single, but they got him out trying to go to second base. So no strikeouts, but a fake three-up, three-down inning. The game goes to extras, and the Brewers only get a run on a bases-loaded hit by pitch. Granted, another great defensive play. Ben Gamble in left field, great diving catch to Rob Renfro of lining out. Man, that would have been beautiful baseball karma, right? After sacrifice bunting in the ninth to try to set up the go-ahead run, to have the opportunity to drive in the better run, or the go-ahead run, or more insurance runs, I should say. And then he's robbed by Gamble, who tied the game in the first place. How can you not be romantic about baseball, right? So in the bottom of the 10th inning, Matt Bush comes on. A leadoff double by Reynolds basically wrapped up this game because that ties the game. Now you got a man on second and nobody out. He got a fly out to right by Hayes, but then a runner tags to third. An intentional walk loads the bases with one out. And then, of course, after all of that, a wild pitch scores the winning run of the game for the Pirates. Two quick good things that happened in this game for the Brewers. Number one, Mike Brasso continues to deliver, even though he's not getting regular playing time. Brasso hit another home run, his second since June 1st, and his fifth of the season. He also was hit by a pitch, as we mentioned a little bit ago. Two runs batted in on that home run. Brasso might get some more playing time soon because he hit that homer off of a righty, mind you. They were giving Luis Urias the day off after going 0-for-5 on Wednesday. I wonder if Brasso is going to get a little more playing time here because he's been just hanging out, waiting for his opportunity. And every time he comes off the bench, he delivers. I kind of feel like Mike Brasso right now, the way at this time last season I was feeling about Tyrone Taylor. Tyrone Taylor was deserving more at-bats at this point last season because he was performing so well off the bench. And right now, Mike Brasso is performing really well off the bench. I wonder how they're going to shake that out the rest of the year. And the other good thing that happened in this game is Colton Wong continued his hitting streak. He stays hot. He's been one of the best hitters in all of baseball. I tweeted his numbers heading into the game yesterday in the second half. 1-for-4 with the double. Obviously, he was left stranded in that inning. He also had an RBI on the hit by pitch. Colton is going to be a huge part of this offense moving forward. And he is going to be somebody that, as we've talked about, if he continues to hit the way he does, it can be like a restart of the order with Yelich at the top of the spot and then Wong batting fifth. It can restart things and have somebody on base for Hunter Renfro to keep things rolling for the Brew Crew. Brewers fall in extras. Okay, that's all we're going to talk about this game. We're going to look ahead And I'm going to get on a little soapbox here in a little bit. We're also going to preview these Reds coming into town. Before we do that, Blue Nile's anniversary sale is happening right now. I know you've heard me talk about it here on the show. I'm just here to remind you once again, you can save up to 40% on classic fine jewelry pieces and even 25% on engagement ring settings. They are the original online jewelers. If you're ready to pop the question or you're celebrating, just celebrating a milestone moment, a gift, a birthday, you can find jewelry as unique as her with the modern convenience of online shopping at BlueNile.com. If you are in the engagement ring world, you can create the engagement ring of her dreams. You can build it with simple online tools. They'll let you choose the diamond shape, size, and clarity, and the setting style. Blue Nile's bench jewelers will then handcraft her perfect engagement ring. Each ring is truly one of a kind. Fellas, summer's running out. Gotta hurry up. But granted, fall is a good season to drop, pop the question too. Right up here, I'm still adjusting to a real fall. Remember, I'm an Arizonan. Anyway, Blue Nile sale, the anniversary sale. You heard me, 40% on classic fine jewelry, 25% on engagement ring settings. Every order ships for free. It arrives in discreet packaging, and it's insured. They also have great insurance. They commit to a piece just like you do. Guaranteed service and repair for life with our friends at BlueNile.com. You can shop stress-free and find your forever peace. Again, BlueNile.com. Cardinals sweep a doubleheader, and I was inspired to look ahead at what's left. 57 and 48, both of these teams. And I wanted to see, is there a difference in the strength of the schedule remaining? Is there a difference in a common opponent and things like that? Let's start with what the Cardinals have left. The Cardinals, equal to the Brewers, 57 games to go. They have 9 more games with the Pirates. They have 8 more games with the Reds. They have 8 more games with the Cubs. They have 6 more games with the Rockies and 4 more games with the Nationals to total 35 games against teams that are under 500. Remember that number, 35 games remaining against teams that are under 500 that are not going to make the playoffs. They also have 7 more, obviously, with these Brewers. They also have 3-game series with the Padres and the Dodgers and the Yankees and the Braves. So that's 12 more games right there against division leaders and some of the best teams in baseball, and 7 against the tough Brewers, who are currently 6-6 against them. So 35 games of the final 57 will be against teams under 500 for the Cardinals. Does that sound alarming? Well, let me read you the Brewers' remaining schedule. Also, 57 games to go. Here's their lineup of series remaining. They've got 10 more with the Cincinnati Reds starting tonight. They've got 7 with the Arizona Diamondbacks. They've also got 7 with the Cardinals, as we've said. They do have 7 remaining with the Los Angeles Dodgers. But they also have 6 remaining with the Cubs, 4 remaining with the Marlins, 3 remaining with the Pirates, 3 remaining with the Rockies, 2 remaining with the Giants, and 2 remaining next week with the Rays, who are technically in the race. Then you've also got 3 more with the Yankees and the Mets. But after it all shakes out, the Brewers also have 35 more games. The Brewers also have 35 more games against teams under 500 that are out of the playoff race. 57 to go, 35 against under 500, just like the Cardinals. That surprised me. Made me feel a little bit better. Now, the 7 games against the Dodgers obviously jumps off the page. They don't have that many games against a single opponent of that quality do the Cardinals remaining, but they get the volume. They also get the Yankees just like the Brewers, but the Brewers do get the Mets. But then you also look at the Braves, really darn good team, and San Diego. The Brewers are done with San Diego. How lucky are the Brewers that they got San Diego at the timing that they got them? Obviously, the first week of June was pretty rough, but I digress. The point I'm making here is, as abysmal of a week as this has been, and I'm going to get to the Josh Hader stuff in a little bit, you still have an opportunity presented in front of yourself of, okay, it's a 57-game season. It's a 2020, if you will, all over again. What can you do in these 57 games, and especially in those seven head-to-head with the Cardinals? Your next series with the Cardinals is a week from today in St. Louis. That's going to be a huge series. We're going to have some preview content coming for that in a little bit, but it's out in front of them. I know it sounds unrealistic, and I know it sounds like, Tom, come on, wake up. This isn't going to happen. Come on, man. Look, this is the hard part of being a fan. It was never going to always be 7-1 the whole second half. And I'm going to get to the hater stuff in a little bit, and it'll be the last time we talk about hater, by the way. I just, 57 games is still a long enough time to make something happen. And I don't know what the record is going to require, but all that matters is beating the Cardinals. That's it. Just win one more game than the Cardinals. That is all that matters. If it comes on game 162, if it comes on game 142, who cares? If you need to win one more game than the Cardinals, the Brewers are going to find a way to do it. And I know the Cardinals got their voodoo magic happening, and September always seems to be their month, and they got Albert, they got Yadi, they got Wainwright, they got all that stuff going in their favor. It's still got a chance. So you're saying there's a chance. That's all you're asking for, right? You're just asking for a chance. And if you want to shout at my radio right now and say, oh, so it's kind of like taking a bite out of the apple, huh, Tom? Well, I'm not going down that road, okay? I know David Stern's comments after that, taking as many bites at the apple as possible right now, but it's been a weird week, and let's jump into the mini soapbox here. But I wanted to lay out that schedule for you as the Reds get ready to come to town tonight. By the way, quick pitching matchups here coming up for this weekend. Tonight, 7:10. By the way, on Apple TV Plus tonight, so don't turn on Bally expecting to see the Brewers. Apple TV Plus, it'll be Melanie Newman, Cliff Floyd, and Russ Dorsey in the booth. And then Trisha Whitaker, who is the Rays sideline reporter, down on the field as well. And then Saturday, actually on Fox, and Jeff Levering is going to be calling that game on Fox. So that game's also going to be national exclusive. And then on Sunday, we'll be finally back on Bally Sports Wisconsin. 7:10 tonight, Robert Duggar, a rookie right-hander who's been DFA'd three times this year by the Reds, will take the ball against lefty Eric Lauer, 7-3, 3.75 ERA. Duggar, only a 4.50 ERA. He hasn't really pitched for very long this season. Then tomorrow night, 6:15 first pitch, Nick Lodolo, a left-hander, going to be a big moment there against the lefty, gets the start, 3-3, 4.23 ERA against Aaron Ashby, pair of southpaws going, 2-9, 4.13 ERA. And then finally, what's one more time with Hunter Green, right? Hunter Green, 4-12, 5.26 ERA on Sunday against the reigning Cy Young winner, Corbin Burns. He's 8-5 with a 2.49 ERA. Let me get on my soapbox. Before I do that, remind you about our presenting sponsor today, BetOnline.net. The easiest way to check in on all your sports betting needs. More lines, more odds, more props than ever before. They're always updating everything you would need to know about. Maybe there's going to be a new win total. Maybe there's going to be a new World Series favorite. Right now, the biggest overachievers in the preseason win totals, the Baltimore Orioles. No surprise there. They're 15 more wins than their expected win total. A team that's really right on par that what they thought they were going to be, the Pittsburgh Pirates. So kudos to them for thinking the Pirates are going to be a little bit better than they were. And Toronto, they're right on line with Toronto, what they predicted at 91.5 to start the season. The Brewers, by the way, in case you were wondering, they put the Brewers at 90, and they put St. Louis at 86.5. And it might come down to the first team to 90 wins in this division wins it. You know, the first team, if you go 33-24 over these last 57 games, that would put you at 90 wins. Maybe that's the number. Maybe that's the record. Anyway, you can bet on it if you want. At betonline.net, where the game starts. Soapbox time. This is going to be the last time we talk about the Josh Hader trade. I hope, anyway. I plan on not talking about it because it's time to move on. All right. This week was weird. It happened on Monday. The deadline was Tuesday. A lot of folks are disappointed with what happened on the deadline Tuesday. The DFA of Lamet was confusing, and we still haven't seen a team claim him yet. Remains to be seen what happens over the weekend if somebody claims him and if he accepts the minor league assignment. So that story still could take a turn in another direction. Keep that in mind. But the reason why I wanted to make this the last time I talk about Josh Hader is because I've noticed a continuing theme from the interviews in the clubhouse with the players and with Craig Counsell and everybody. I've noticed a theme of the phrase kind of coming about of, yeah, it feels a little weird, it sounds a little odd, but we're professionals. How many times have you heard the player interview say, yeah, we're pros? That sounds like the message. The message that was delivered of saying, somebody stepped up in that clubhouse and said, hey guys, we need to play like professionals. How many times have you heard that this week? Devin Williams owned it on Wednesday night after giving up the home run. He said, hey, I'm a professional. I pitch in that situation dozens of times. Whether Josh Hader's behind me or not, I should have been able to get out of it because I'm a professional. Brandon Woodruff mentioned the same thing. I got to fix my command because I'm a professional. Christian Yelich, I can't get tossed in that spot. I need to be better than that. That's not right of me. And then Adam McAlvey press saying, does it feel weird? Does it feel odd without Josh Hader here? He goes, yeah, but I mean, we got to play the game. It's what we're paid to do. We're professionals. That is what the Brewers' mantra is going to be moving forward. They're going to be the team that is going to take the high road in public for these last 57 games. There will be plenty of time in the offseason to look back at this trade and to look back at, oh my goodness, whatever comes of the Brewers, whether they band together and figure it out here down the stretch, or this is the beginning of the end of this season anyway, we will be able to analyze that in October and November. But here in August, let's just play ball, man. All right? And if y'all want to be sourpusses 24/7, fine. Just don't mention me in it, man. I'm all about the positivity. Eternal optimist. I tweeted there are no more good vibes. Well, you know what? You can create your own good vibes. You can create your own good energy. And I believe the guys in the clubhouse that are going to be doing that, Willy Adames, we haven't really seen him bouncing around as of late. Partially might be because he's slumping right now, but Mike Brasso getting hot will be huge for them. Getting Freddie Peralta back in this clubhouse will be huge for them. I look at chances for them to... The big Randy stuff from last week with the YouTube game kind of happened and fizzled fast, so would love to see the big Randy stuff come about again for Rowdy Tellez. Maybe you bring the Thanos hand, bring out the Infinity Gauntlet again. The Brewers need something to break the ice, and I rely on those clubhouse leaders, the McCutchins, the Adamases, the Peraltas, the Burns, the Woodruffs, to take care of it, the Yeliches, to say, look, it happened. Shake it off. The game's a business. You should be used to it by now and move on. That's what I think the message is going to be moving forward. And seeing folks tweeting about Taylor Rogers being unavailable yesterday, which we found out yesterday, which is why he didn't play in the game, saying Craig Counsell's reasoning for it was, well, we got him hot on Tuesday when he had first arrived. He had taken a red eye to get there in time for that series from San Diego and got hot on Tuesday, then they didn't end up needing him. Wednesday gets into the game in a high leverage spot, and then quick 12 hours later, Counsell wanted to give him a day, wanted to give him a breather and have him fresh for tonight against the Reds, knowing he was going to need Devin in back-to-back games. Now he can have Taylor available a little fresher than what they were hoping for. If you're going to tweet and complain about a guy trying to make it to his team to be available on Tuesday night after taking a red eye, get out of here with that. Miss me with that. These guys are human. It is hard to remember that. Not everything is simply, oh, he's going to show up and perform exactly how he is. This game is all about adjustments. Here in August, arms could be hanging. Guys are feeling a little sore, a little banged up. This is the hardest time of year. This is why it's called the dog days of summer. You're trying to generate juice. The pennant race will do it, but you know there's still 57 games. September, it does it naturally because every single game has urgency. Every single game from here in will just take another step higher, another step higher, another step higher. Of urgency and how important it's going to be. That will help generate juice as well. They need that big moment after they had the great weekend in Boston. They had the great game on Wednesday. Think about it. We teased it on Wednesday after that YouTube game. Brewers are going on the road. The next time they're back will be after the trade deadline. They could look very different. Well, they're looking pretty different after on their way back. But right now, they could use your support. They could use your cheers. They could use your positivity. I'm going to sit here and be positive until there's a reason not to, until the fat lady sings, all right? All right. I hope you have a wonderful weekend. Hope to see you at the ballpark. 40th anniversary of the 1982 team is in town. They had a great event over at the 3rd Street Market Hall yesterday. Commissioner Emeritus Bud Selig was there. Bob Uecker was there. Simba was there. Ted Simmons. Molitor was there. Robin Yount was there. I mean, everyone's here. Okay, it's going to be a lot of fun this weekend. Hope to see you at the ballpark. And once again, tonight, a 7:10 first pitch. It's on Apple. It's not on Bally. Don't turn on Bally. It's on Apple tonight. Okay? It's still free. Go check it out. My name is Dominic Catronio. Thank you for our biggest week ever on Locked On Brewers. I'm able to do this thanks to you guys. So thank you so, so much. Until Monday, hopefully we got the good vibes back by then. Keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers. Your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.